you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. A familiar one for maybe many of you, but a great verse, and hopefully you'll understand why it is so important, especially to our two guests today on the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, March 7th, 2023. And I'm pleased, I'm excited, I'm very blessed to introduce you to two new friends. They were a part of a Pinnacle Forum large group gathering here at the station a couple weeks ago. And I was so fascinated by their ministry. Not only fascinated, they've been around for a number of years, and I was unfamiliar with the great work they're doing. It's called Lifeline Connect, and joining me in the studio is one of their assistant directors, Jamie Carls, and also a former graduate and resident of the program. It's a year-long program, so we're going to learn about this, because some of you might have a loved one that's strayed or a family member that has various addictions, whether it's drug or alcohol. It's a great program here in Urbana, Illinois. And they've helped so many people over the years, and it's a year-long commitment. But I'm going to begin with you, Michael. Michael Savage is joining me in the studio. He lives locally in Sydney, Illinois, married to the beloved Megan, has three beautiful children, and he's going to talk about some of his faith journey on this Testimony Tuesday and how God really redeemed him from the lowest point of life where he was ready to take his life, a drug overdose, and he just wanted to end it all. But Michael, share a little on this Testimony Tuesday, some of that faith journey, and how God really has put you in a place you would have never believed, say, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, in light of drug addiction, incarceration, and many poor life choices that you had made.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could have never told me a decade ago, I mean, 15 years ago, that I would be where I'm at today. You know, I got involved in drugs and alcohol as a young man, started off with cigarettes and went to alcohol and then to marijuana and prescription drugs, got a hold of me, were available in the opiates and the pain medication, Vicodin and Percocets and Oxycontin and things like that. You know, they got a hold of my life and just completely consumed me. You know, I was in and out of the juvenile centers. I was in and out of the local jails whenever I began to turn 16 and 17. I always was never violent. I always wanted to do good in my life, but just that spirit of addiction, and I just could never break it. I didn't know how to get out of it. And the drugs just consumed my life, and I began to get in a lot of trouble. I was stealing as a young man. Then I had to steal to support my habit, and was in and out of jails and institutions. That would follow a lot of depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, you know, was in and out of a lot of mental health institutions as well. And I was just always searching to fill my heart. It was a God-sized hole, and I was searching the world and trying to put anything in there, trying to find out, where do I fit in this thing? What is my identity? I never knew what I was supposed to do, and I was just walking aimlessly.
And I know this began at the ages of like 12 and 14 and 16. Those were times when you were already drinking, smoking, even doing pot with your mom. Your parents were partiers. They liked to have fun on the weekends, and you got to see that modeled, and you just got caught up in that and trying to fill that vacuum of feeling like, what is the meaning of life?
Right. Yep. You know, it started out as something innocent. You know, I'm just having fun. I'm just, you know, but it took a piece of me, you know, and it just came to the point to where I had to rely on those drugs or those pills or the drink, you know, to even feel normal or to even feel comfortable in my own skin. And they just consumed my life.
something that was shared during the Pinnacle Gathering when there was some question and answers. The word enabling came up, and I thought that was so crucial for everyone to understand the importance of enabling. And I'm going to introduce James Carls, you're the Assistant Director of Lifeline Connect here in the Urbana area. And talk a little about enabling, because you also went through the program and now you serve as the assistant director, but address enabling, and then we're going to come back to Michael, because there's so much hope in your story, Michael, of how God worked through all the circumstances and situations and all the bridges you had burned and the people that no longer wanted to have anything to do with you. And I want to provide some hope because God has you at such a wonderful place. But Jamie, talk a little about Lifeline Connect. Maybe focus a little on that enabling, because I think there might be some listeners that are also enabling family members or people in ways they never realized are not healthy.
Sure. So Lifeline Connect's a 12-month men's residential recovery center for men with drugs and alcohol addiction. And during that time when guys are in the program, they're not the only ones getting healing. It's time for their families to get healing as well. And the reason behind that is because a lot of times an addict has an enabler in their life. And as long as an enabler is there, an addict will not change, because an enabler just makes them comfortable. And if we're comfortable, we're not going to change. And it's difficult. A lot of times, you know, it's a mother, because they feel like that's how they love their child. Right. But it also becomes unhealthy for them, because an enabler, they're not okay unless their child is okay. Yeah. And so that's the unhealthiness that happens in enablement. And there has to be a time when that enabler just says, hey, here's what love looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry you're living on the streets. You're going to have to get help. When you're ready for help, when you're ready to make a change in your life, then I can help you. But as long as somebody was, from my story, giving me money, giving me a place to stay, I wasn't going to change. So it's very crucial for family members to do what we call the hard right thing. And that is, hey, this is what love looks like. And when you're ready for help, then we will come and come alongside you and get help.
Yeah, that's that tough love concept.
Tough love.
That's so hard to implement, because you really, your heart is breaking and you don't want it to break more by seeing them suffer. But oftentimes that's the only way that they're going to come to terms with they have to change.
Right, because as long as we know somebody's there to rescue us, we are not going to change our thought process. I had a mother recently of a guy who left our program, and she said, where is he at? You know, he's on the streets of Champaign, and I can't leave him there. And I said, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. He made that decision. You didn't make that decision. He made that decision.
Now, Jamie, we're going to come back to learning some more about Lifeline Connect. Is there a website or a phone number for somebody maybe driving along or wants to write it down right now and they can't stay with the broadcast, which incidentally will be archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, so you can listen to the full program at any time. But what's a phone number or a website for people to call to find out more?
Our website is lifelineconnect.org. And you can get any kind of information. You can look at testimonials on our website. You can also, there's a place there that you can learn how to support our ministry. A phone number, people can reach out to me, 217-402-2886.
That's 217-402-2886. We'll also have that number if you want to call the station to connect you. Well, Michael, we began with a beloved passage out of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So walk us through that testimony where the old had taken over your life. It was bad. You were in jail. You were incarcerated. You had no hope. But we have a God that's in that redemptive business. He can bring glory out of ashes. So walk us through. So you're at a young age, you're involved in drugs, petty theft, you're misbehaving, you're looking for drugs, you're selling them, you're on a road of destruction. Walk us to the point where your dad was used of God to model God in a certain way.
Sure, sure. So the first thing I want to say, the most powerful part for me about that scripture is the word any.
Hmm.
If any man, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter your last name, the color of your skin, the amount of money you have. If you're in a prison cell, if you're on the street, if you're the president or the CEO of a billion-dollar company, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that scripture just speaks to me. Like, I didn't think I could qualify for God's kingdom. In my mind, I had done too much. I had went too far, and a heroin addiction was birthed in my life out of, you know, I was taking the pills, I was taking the pain medication, and it was suggested that I go to a methadone clinic to get off of the opiates. And in turn, I met a lot of heroin addicts at a methadone clinic, and it wasn't long because, you know, you are who you hang out with. Show me your friends and I'll show you what your future looks like. And I was rubbing shoulders with those people, and it wasn't long, and I was using heroin. I was sticking the needle in my arm, and that just completely destroyed my life to the point to where I did go to prison, had a few different felonies for drugs and for stealing, and it just destroyed my life. And I did some time in prison in Missouri, and I got out, and I got around the wrong people again, the wrong crowd again, and I found myself homeless. Living on the street, you know, that guy at the highway exit asking people for money. I mean, I remember people giving me money. They would give me food. And it was just like, I thought to myself, how did I get to this a situation in my life? You know, and at the worst of the worst, I had overdosed several times. Mm. You know, my family was finding me on the ground with a needle in my arm. The addiction just went further and further. At the worst of the worst, I had just decided I didn't want to live anymore. I had overdosed two times that week, and I had got out of the hospital, and I decided that I was going to end it. Just so much shame and guilt. I didn't want to face people. I felt like I was a failure. And I had got some heroin, and I went in my apartment, and I put my back up against the door and my feet up against the bathroom vanity so nobody would be able to open that door. And that was the last thing I remember. And the next thing I know, I was waking up in the hospital. What happened is that my dad, my father, he was pursuing me during these overdoses, and his love for me, he was just, you know, he did not want to let his son go because he knew that God still had a purpose for my life. And my dad actually got a key to the apartment from the apartment manager and got into that room, and he got into that door, and he broke that door down, and he drugged me out, and he said I was as blue as can be, and he tried to give me a CPR, and he tried to resuscitate me, and he called the paramedics. And when they arrived, they said that they barely found a heartbeat. They had given me several doses of Narcan, which is the thing that will bring you out of a heroin overdose. But they, on the fourth one, they were about to give up. They found a faint heartbeat. And I'm just thankful because that is the pursuit of God. Mm-hmm. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he will go after you. He will tear down the doors and the walls. And that is the pursuit of a loving God, no matter how messy, how destructive the situation is. I mean, I was a heroin addict. I was, you know, a criminal. And here my father is just pursuing me. And he pulled me out of there. And I was in the ICU that week. I made it to the hospital, and I was in a coma for 9 days. And I had a family and a church that was praying, and it was just the will of God. If there is still breath in your body, God still has a purpose for your life. And so that was the worst of the worst. And that's when, you know, I made my way home to Lifeline Connect.
And I know at the time, I think the paramedics, it's like the third time that week they would come to your apartment or something, and they were like through with you. They basically said, you know, we're wasting our time. This guy's, he's a druggie and like no hope. But your dad was there, used of God. And that was the beginning of you finding out about Lifeline Connect and committing to a year. So what did you learn there? And how did that program make all the difference?
Sure. So I found out about Lifeline Connect, like after I came about, and Lifeline Connect, I had never been to a faith-based recovery center. And this was different from all the other things, all the other programs and things I had been in my life. They would teach you about drugs and about how a drug impacts your brain and about all these things. But what Lifeline did is they don't teach you about drugs and alcohol and how they impact the brain, because the drugs and the alcohol are just a coping mechanism of the wounds that are going on in your heart and your mind. And they may be wounds from your childhood and your belief systems and how you view the world. So there was a lot of counseling. So the thing at Lifeline Connect is they taught me about the belief systems and helped me to discover why it is that I use. Why it is do I feel the need and the compulsion to cover up a certain emotion when I'm insecure or I'm depressed or I feel fear and things like that. And they are able to use psychology along with biblical principles and then marry the two together with some of the curriculum that they use. And I was able to actually find out why it is I use.
Yeah, they get to that root cause, the root nature of whatever it is that might trigger these habits or these propensities or tendencies to try to find love, healing, significance through drugs or alcohol and such.
That is right. And I think you nailed it. They find the root cause and we uproot that so we can change the belief system.
Now, Jamie, you currently serve as assistant director, but you were also through the program. So God brought healing and hope to your life. And I know you shared a little bit at the Pinnacle Forum about certain things that you finally recognized were the reasons you made these bad choices. Talk about some of the ways God brought healing to you through Lifeline Connect and God's divine sense of humor now that he has you as an assistant director. I'm sure that's got to be a great encouragement to the men because you're kind of part of the success of the program. Now you're serving as assistant director.
Absolutely. Yeah, I came to Lifeline Connect. It'll be 7 years, actually, March 24th. So March 24th, 2016, I walked in the doors. I was an alcoholic, had lost everything in my life. I was at the end there. I was on 10-day drinking binges, could not get out of bed. It was bad. I just had zero hope. And I had lost everything in my life. I owned a business at one point. I had lost that. Failed marriage. But unfortunately, having supervised visits with my children, that's where addiction took me. And when I came to Lifeline Connect, I knew something was wrong with me, and I wanted to find out what that was. And so through the Genesis process that we go through in the healing, for me, it was a dark secret that I held on to. And a lot of people have secrets. And this is where Lifeline works, because we're big on confidentiality. We want to make a safe environment for these men to come in here, tell us, open up about anything. That's key. Because usually a lot of us have a secret that we said we're going to go to the grave with and whatever it may be. But I was able to feel safe enough to unload that secret. And that secret really damaged my life for over 30 years. And I was able to finally get healing from that and be able to move on in my life. And yeah, I came here with no purpose. You know, I read in my Genesis 1-on-1 book now, you know, how can God use me because of all the bad things I've done? But I've turned that testimony in to, because of the things of my past, God can use me. I would not be able to do what I'm doing today if I didn't have my past and the redemption power of Jesus Christ in my life. And Jesus is at the center of this program. Yeah. Guys say, you know, Lifeline saved my life. Jesus Christ saved your life through Lifeline. He's at the center of Lifeline Connect.
And that's what I love so much about this program. It's Christ-centered. It's God's redemptive way of bringing healing and hope to these men that have suffered, as you both have. And I love that both of you have come to the point where without God, you saw no hope. But now with God, you're both thriving with families, with good occupations. I think you had said, Michael, you're a contributing citizen now before when you were taken away or kind of destructive in the community. But now you have a great family and this Lifeline Connect. I want to share with our listeners because they may know somebody. Maybe they themselves are tuned in today and God's tugging at your heart. It's a year-long program. It's in the Urbana area. You can find out more at lifelineconnect.org, lifelineconnect.org, or call 217-402-2886, 217-402-2886. And maybe if you're driving and you didn't have a chance to write it down, just call the station. We'll give you this information. As it also makes me think of, you might be giving up on somebody. Maybe it's a family member, a loved one, somebody you know. They failed again. Well, here's two examples of people that have failed, but God in his redemptive grace and his love continued to pursue. And so don't ever give up praying for somebody or matching them up with this Lifeline Connect or some kind of program where they can recognize their deep wounds and maybe some of the choices they are making are not where they want to be, but they need to have people pouring into their lives, giving them hope, and your prayers will certainly be appreciated, but Lifeline Connect might be just the organization, just the ministry that they need to be a part of. And it's only for men at this point, right?
Correct. Only
okay.
For men.
For
yep.
men, and they can find out more at lifelineconnect.org. Michael, how about you close our time in prayer for the person maybe struggling today with their identity? They don't have a sense that God loves them. To the senior saint that just needs to be encouraged to never give up hope, to keep praying for that child or that grandchild or that person, that neighbor that they know that's struggling with addictions.
Sure, sure. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and grace. Father, we thank you that you see the struggle in our life. And Father, I pray today for that soul that's out there that's under the sound of our voices, God, that you would just reach down and minister unto them, God, that you are the lighthouse, that you are the hope that this world needs in the midst of a storm, in the midst of chaos and confusion. I pray that somebody would look unto you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray today that that soul would just put the pen in your hand, God, because there is another chapter that you want to write in their life, that they may feel like they're stuck and that the enemy has said checkmate in their life, but you got a surprise, a twist in their life, in a turning of the page, a turning of the story. And I pray right now that shackles would fall off of their mind, that their heart would be turned unto you, Lord, and that the pen would be put in your hand. And that's as simple as saying, God, I need you in my life. I invite you into my heart, into my life, God. And I pray that you would connect them, that they would have the courage to reach out and to ask for help, because we know that the enemy of our soul wants us to keep our mouth shut. And he wants us to not say anything to anybody. But I pray in the name of Jesus that they would have the courage to reach out and to ask for help. In Jesus' name, amen.